just a little while. Don't know really how it's all going to come out, but we're going to try. Because I don't normally just preach like this as far as, you know, if you know English, trying to keep spilling. If you know how to grammatically speak English, it's okay for you to break the rules. Hello? Ain't nobody talking to me now. If you know the right way to do things, it's okay. It's real simple. I know an attorney that's the smartest man in the room. He uses bad grammar on purpose in jury trials. Why'd you do that? Because he's talking to the people in the jury box. This is Muskogee, right? I am in Muskogee. Okay, anyhow, what I'm saying is, I don't normally just preach. I like to exposit. You know I do that. And just take a text and use it. But it is a general principle in the Bible. This is. And there's a story. I want to use it. It's a narrative. And it's a great story if you read the whole thing. But I want to just pluck out one little verse out of it, okay? I know the rules. I can break them. But y'all quiet. Are you letting God speak to you, talk to you, deal with you? Well, I'm going to tell you about something in a minute. Let's turn to Acts chapter 27. Some unbroken pieces. But the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose. Commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, listen to this, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. You may be seated. Some on broken pieces. I hope you're allowing God to work with you and to speak to you, because here's the deal. You're not perfect. Oh, you think you are? I know the Pope thinks he is. Is there anybody else here infallible but the Pope? Well, I got news for the Pope. He's not infallible. And I promise you, if he'd just get married, he'd find out he's not infallible. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank God for good wives. But we're all broken. We're all fragmented in some way, somehow. Just some people are a little more broke than others. And some people are a little more fragmented than others. But we're all imperfect. Now, I want to let you know, just as I start here, this is not a sermon to give you a license to go and do anything you want to do. Well, I'm not perfect, praise God. I'm going to the club tonight. No, if you're going to the club tonight, then you probably don't have what I'm talking about. Because if you got what I'm talking about, it grieves you when you sin. It grieves you when you mess up. It grieves you when your relationship with God is altered a bit. And you can alter your experience with God. The Bible said God will not hear you if you regard iniquity in your heart. You got to get it out. You got to repent. But to think that we go through the life as a Christian, as a perfect person, and somehow we've gotten that idea that, you know, and we set this standard that we don't really ever meet sometimes. Everybody say amen. This perfect standard, and we think that's what, and we always fall short. We wonder, you know, am I going to make it? Now, let me just say one more time for about the 10,000th time, and that is this. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. It's not about perfection, it's about direction. I know you get tired of me saying that, but it's a very tremendous truth in the Word of God, because if you think it's about perfection, you will not make it. I will not make it, because it no matter how perfect we become, we're still, when we judge ourselves by ourselves, oh, that's easy to do, because I can live better than some of you. And you can probably live better than some of us. But nobody can live better than Jesus. And because he's the standard, and you look at him, you fall short. When he's the contrast, you fall short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so what I'm saying is that nothing is perfect anymore. Thank God for super glue. Thank God. I mean, that's one of the greatest inventions man ever made. I wish I'd have made it, because I wouldn't be broke right now. Amen. But see, there's something super glue can't put back together again. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. 21st century came along. We can put Humpty Dumpty back together again, because now we got super glue. Praise God. Well, I got news for you. There's so many little pieces when Humpty Dumpty hit the ground that there's not pieces left. When some things get broken, they really get broken. And you can't put it back together again. But the good news is that you just got to take it to the right source. God has the power, the ability, and the know-how and the want-to to put everything back together again. Amen. And so quit going to the king and quit or to the king's men and quit going to the king's horses, because the king's horses and the king's men can't do anything for you. But if you'll take your broken pieces to the king, he can put it all back together again. And I want you to understand, he can do it when no other power can. Amen. Say, but I got problems. Everybody got problems, man. Who ain't got some problems? Who hadn't got some characteristics in your life? I'm getting somewhere. Hang in there. I ain't even started yet. I'll let you out by 12. 12. I will. Watch. Watch what I say. But here's the deal. We all have these imperfections. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. You see, grace is able to put it together again. Say, but you know, you don't understand. Sometimes I think things. Sometimes, you know, I've got road rage. You know, you're not the Lone Ranger. I'm not throwing any stones at anybody. I get mad too. Hello? Nobody? Oh, you're just perfect. Oh, they just cut me off. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, praise God, the guy's on my tail, and he just won't. Oh, bless it. Oh, I'm just going to pray for that guy. Just thank God for that gentleman back there, who's, you know, flipping me that bird. I just thank God for him. Man, you're crazy. If you don't get fired up about that, then you ain't got any fire. Amen. You ought to have a little zeal, a little fire, but you got to control it. Praise God. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You don't always do what you want to do. You don't always say what you want to say. You don't always think what you want to think. But I want you to know, when you do, there's grace that can put it all back together again. You understand what I'm saying? Love covers a multitude of sin. But how's that work? God loves me, and I know that. For the Bible says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And when you get the power in your life, which is the power of Jesus Christ and salvation, it gives you a sound mind. And it gives you love, because you have a sound mind, because you know God loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so I want you to understand, he's always loving us. Love covers a multitude of sin. I got a granddaughter that's, woo, she's spirited. I see it, but I never see where she really does anything wrong. I'm just telling you. She's the one that jumped up in my lap, I told you, many years ago. Now she's bigger, but nothing's changed. And she said, Papa, you won't spank me, will you? And I said, no, no, baby, Papa will never spank you. But I said, Nana will. She will. So you better get over here to Papa. Been times I've seen her about to get in some trouble because I knew that spirit was getting up. I said, baby, come over here. Come here, baby. Come here and sit on Papa's lap. Amen. I don't want you to get in trouble. You know, I can't explain it to you. You know, if you're a grandpa or grandma, love covers a multitude of sin. Amen. Now, I want to say that it doesn't make it right and it doesn't make everything good. And you have to train them because if you just let everything go, I know. But I'm just saying this, that in the bigger picture, God loves you. And that's what love covers. It covers a multitude of sin because every one of us stands guilty in His presence. Every one of us stands in the presence of God. We will be guilty as charged. We will be guilty of every sin in this book, if you please, because your heart is wicked and desperately wicked. And there's no way you can hide it. You can mask it, but it's there. But thank God the grace of God comes in and covers a multitude of sin and covers everything in your life. And because of that, you can be free, free indeed. Say, but I keep, you know, falling down. Well, good news is one day you won't fall down anymore. I better get to my sermon. I haven't got there yet. Amen. I really have it. I'm just kind of building up for this. I'm just telling you, things get broken. Part of the curse is nothing is perfect anymore. All things are broken. I don't know anything that's not broken. Ask Brother Virgil. Broke things. I mean, seriously. Everything I know is broken. What are you saying? I'm just saying, nothing's perfect. Man, you get the newest, shiniest car off the parking lot. Man, it can have a triple coat of lacquer or, what do you call that? Clear coat, thank you. You can have, man, it can shine like the sun. But I promise you, you give it a few days, you're going to find a scratch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you get over it. And you get another one. But I'm saying that no matter what you have, no matter what you own, no matter who you know, everything is broken. I broke my leg. I broke my tooth. I broke my thumb. I broke my car's been broke. My brakes have broke. My alternator's been broke. My battery's been broke. My tires have been broke. My house has been broken. It's been broken in two. My dishwasher, it's broken before. My refrigerator's broken before. My washer and dryer broke down before. My dryer and my hair dryer. Even my hair dryer, man, that's bad when my hair dryer breaks. Amen. But I everything's been broke. I've been flat broke before. Somebody say amen. And I want you to know, even in all of that, I realize that everything I own has been broken at some time. And then there's things that get broke because of catastrophes. Suddenly, you're driving that new shiny triple coat of clear coat on it, and boom, you get hit. Praise God. Ooh, I hope I can too. Or you got yourself a new house, it's beautiful, you love it, everything's great, and then the forecaster says, there's coming a storm. No problem. You go out there and, man, it's ball headed. I mean, it hadn't got any shingles on it anymore. Whoa, where'd my roof go? That's called catastrophes. Things happen like that. Hurricanes and hail and fire. And that's where these men find themselves in our text. These men with Paul. And I'm not going to go to the narrative or into the narrative, but they're in a storm. I want you to get that. They're in a storm. And matter of fact, it's so bad that they call it Euroclydon. Euroclydon. Man, that sounds scary in itself. Watch out. Here comes Euroclydon. Could you imagine that, Travis Myers? Everybody better take cover because Euroclydon is coming. Amen. I mean, it scares them, but they're there. This is not a joke. They were in a bad storm, and they jumped out of the They jumped out of the ship, that broken ship, because it's breaking, man. Things are falling off. The masts have already fallen, the poles, and I mean, wood's being ripped off of it. They knew they were going to die, and so they said, we better do something about that. We better jump and swim. So, because also it got grounded, okay? It finally got grounded, and God has a way of doing that when you're in the storm to ground you so you can get where you need to go, okay? And so they're grounded. Things are falling, everything. They said, swim for shore. Get to shore. Thank God they could see some shore. Maybe when the lightning flashed, they looked out. Whoa, there's, I just saw something, Captain. What'd you see? I think I saw the shore. Let's wait till. There it is. Let's make it happen, Captain. Let's get out of here. And man, they started jumping board. Overboard, I should say. The Bible says some made it on boards and some just on some broken pieces of a board. The message is this. Jesus gives us hope. And I don't know about you, but I came to God broken. Real broken. You know my story. I don't have to tell you, but I did eat dinner with a friend of mine last night. Came through town and said, you want to meet for dinner? I said, sure. But I'd already eaten, me and Kalita. So I just went up there and drank a beverage, tea. Don't get the wrong idea. Beverage didn't sound right, I tell you. Yeah, I drank a sweet tea, and we fellowshipped, and we talked about old times, because, man, I grew up with him since the fifth grade, and I got talking about some of the stories I tell y'all, and he was in them. Amen. I said, you remember that time that I took a little too much of that Valium and drank a little too much of that beverage, and and I was knocked out. He said, yeah. I said, man, we tried everything to get you up. We kicked you, we hit you, we slapped you around, but you didn't get up. And I said, well, what did you do? He said, we left you there to die. Amen. I said, exactly. Why didn't you call the ambulance? And he said, I don't know. And I said, but you know what? God had a bigger plan, and I probably did overdose, but you know, God just said, oh, this idiot. Not today. Not today. I got plans for this guy. Thank God. Praise God. But I'm just telling you, I came to God in brokenness. But you know what? That's the only way you can come to God. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that those that come to God must come to Him with a broken and a contrite spirit. That's what God hears. He doesn't hear the proud. He doesn't hear people come down the aisle and say, God, I really don't need you. I just need you on Sunday to stamp my pass to heaven here, and I just need you to get sign up, and then I'm going to go to heaven, and then forget about God. But I want you to know, you're not broken, because if you're a broken and contrite spirit, every day you live, you know you need the presence of God. You know you need God's grace. You know you need God's mercy. You know that God has to be with you, or you're not going to make it. Like the song said, I can't walk without Jesus. I can't talk without Jesus. I can't even think and do anything in this world without Jesus. But thank God Jesus is with me. And because of that, I come humbly before God, because I can do nothing without Him. Absolutely nothing. But if you think you can do it by yourself, that's proud. You see, you want to get God's attention? Get a broken and contrite spirit. So in this life, things are broken. Let me just give you a little practical here, okay? This is a practicum right here, okay? I'm just going to flesh this out a minute. Because I don't know about you, but when I think about broken things, the thing I think about at my age, it's time. That's one of the first things I think about. Benjamin Franklin said, time is the stuff of life. It's the stuff of life. But it's easily broken. It's easily broken. You know, it always seems like when I am the busiest, I get the most interruptions. Amen? You know, I'm just kicked back, nothing going on, I'm just sitting there, which is not too often, but still yet, not too much. But man, it's right when I'm in the middle of something, they got to get something done. Here comes an interruption. And I'm just telling you, this is practical in your life. The busier you become, the more interruptions come. And interruptions are annoying. They're kind of irritating. We all quiet. No, don't take this wrong. I mean, don't. Man, I ain't going to call the pastor no more. I know he's busy. You call me anytime. And if you think I'm upset and annoyed when I answer you, I probably am, but just overlook me, please. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding, okay? But no, I'm not. Sometimes, now, yeah, if it's real serious, yeah, don't call me and tell me my refrigerator broke down at 3 o'clock like my other friend. But nevertheless, I don't care about your refrigerator at 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? But if you say, come, I need you now because I feel like I'm dying, guess what? I'm going to be in my car. And I'll be there. It may take me 10, may take me 5. I'm not even going to take a shower. I'm not going to comb my hair because you don't know about my hair. Bro, when I get up and I've been sleeping, man, it looks, woo! So I'm going to be wearing my Minnesota Viking hat. You ever see me in my hat, you know I ain't combed my hair. Glory to God. Just saying, man. I'm just giving you a little insight to my life, all right? But I'm just saying, I'll be there. I may come with a hat on, but I'll be. But I'm just saying this. Don't misconstrue this, okay? You call me in time. But I'm just saying, a lot of times, you know, I'm just in the middle of something and get a call. Just in life, in general. So the lesson must be learned here. Interruptions may be annoying, they may be irritating, but they're inevitable. They're inevitable. There's no way you have a perfect time, okay? So the lesson all of us must learn is that if we want to achieve anything, you got to hold to the things, these things, through reoccurring interruptions. Because that's how most work is done anyway. Not by individuals of unbroken leisure. No, there's going to be interruptions. What you need to do is seize the moment that you have. Seize the seconds that God's given you. As the Bible said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming means buy it back, okay? And you know that. But buy up all the time you can. Just get it all. Redeem the time because you don't know this might be the last time. And so you need to seize your hours. You need to rescue and redeem every opportunity. You need to just grab every fragment of time you can and hold on to it, okay? And you'll get there. I promise you. Just hang in there. And one of these days, guess what? He's going to change time into eternity. You know that? We wrestle with time now. Time's running out on all of us. It really is. And never mind. It's running out. The day you're born, you're born and you're dying. The day that you breathe, the day you were conceived, you start dying, as a matter of fact. But the good news is one of these great get in the morning going to change time into eternity. What's that mean? I just tell you, there's going to be no more time. You say, I don't understand that. Neither do I, but I know it's not going to be. That means there's not going to be a schedule. There's not going to be a time clock. There's not going to be pressure. There's not going to be this thing eating at you all that I got to get my taxes done. I've got to make this deadline. I've got to do this before it runs out. I got to get there before Friday. I've got to make that payment. All those things are just bearing on you all the time. I want you to one day there will be no more time and it will be eternity. And in that eternal bliss, there'll be no pressure of time. But you got to deal with it now. So just deal with it. Like I told Virgil this morning, go to Lowe's, get a ladder and get over it. And he said, that's what the problem is. He got a ladder and never mind. Hey, man, I'm picking on him. Good to see him this morning. I usually pick on people I like. Like you, Brother Steve, with your pink shirt on. You look good in pink, man. Really, you do. Amen. I got another Steve back there. Amen. I don't have my glasses on, but I think that's blue. You look good in blue, Steve. I'm picking on people. It's because I love you. Some suffer through broken health. Broken health. Once they were strong, they were vigorous, they were tireless. They could work a young man. Well, they were young, but as they got a little older, they could work young men under the bench. I had a father of mine like that. Man, that guy, oh my word, that was a worker. I went and hauled hay with him. I ain't talking about the round bales neither. I'm talking about the square bales. Like to kill me. I finally got sick in my stomach because I was getting too hot, about to pass out. He said, you better go sit down over there. And while I'm sitting down, my hands are burning, my lungs are burning, I'm about to die. And then it's all said and done, he didn't even pay me. Because I was sitting at his table. married to his daughter. Amen. No respect. Amen. But, you know, there's some people just seem like they never get tired. They sleep 2 or 3 hours a night. And they're always going. But it doesn't always last like that, all right? And now, you know, you're getting a little more tired and you're getting a little more weary and it seems like gravity's beginning to pull a little heavier on you. A little harder to get up out of that seat. Maybe because that, never mind. You know what I'm talking about. These young people don't know what I'm talking about. Gravity don't come for you, praise God. Amen. You get the chest of drawers disease. Your chest will fall down in your drawers. You know what I'm talking about. It's called gravity. You're getting older. You're getting weaker. Your eyes can't focus like they used to. And it seemed like lately my eyes have just gotten worse, man. I get sick of glasses. And I've noticed that I can't even see as well in the dark. Now, you don't understand that if you're young. Because when I was young, I couldn't see in the dark, but I could see in the dark. You know what I mean? I can't even see in the dark now. I run into walls and things, man. I know where the door's at. Miss it. Boom. That's what I'm talking about. Because I'm getting older. Once life was an adventure to live, now it's just a burden to bear for some people. There's so much that they want to do, but they just don't have the strength to do it. Their get up and go done got up and went. You know, it's a bitter feeling useless. It really is. And that's part of the broken health is you begin to feel like I'm of no use to anybody. I'm no use to the people around me. I'm just a burden now. I tell you what, my wife is absolutely the best daughter in the world. Best wife in the world, too. Is she in here? I wanted to hear all these things. Kind of the doghouse right now. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But man, she's taking her mama, and her mama's not here today because they took her down. She's having Thanksgiving with her other sister, with her sister. But man, I watch my wife tirelessly. She's wore out herself, and she's tending. And then, man, if somebody else needs her, she's there. My granddaughter calls, she'll shoot down there. I mean, she just works for everybody. But to watch her as she tends to her mom, I honestly say, and I've told her, and I'm telling you that she's a lot better daughter than I was ever a son to my parents or ever will be, because I just don't know if I could do what she'd done. But I want you to know that there comes a time, it's like my mother-in-law, she kind of feels like she's a burden to us. But you know what? Love takes the weight out of burden. Somebody say amen. And if somebody loves you, guess what? You're loved. And if you're loved, you're not useless. Health is priceless. It's a priceless blessing. I mean, honestly, gold and silver and diamonds are nothing to health. Somebody say amen. Like the old guy told me a long time ago, very rich man told me, he said, preacher, he said, I spent my health for my wealth. He said, now I'm spending my wealth for the health. I thought, I'll just cut the middleman out and I'll just keep my health. Amen. I may not be wealth, but I'll have my health. Hopefully. You see, without health, castles and carriages are vanity. But if you have health, a small cottage is a kingdom. Oh, yeah. But don't forget that with the little courage, with a little faith, with a little endurance, you're going to make it by the grace of God. You're going to make it to the shore on broken pieces. You're going to see the other side, even in your broken health. Oh, I know we've been programmed to think that, you know, every sickness is going to be healed. It is going to be healed, but it's not all going to be healed on this side. I'm sorry to tell you that. That's the honest truth. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. That's exegetical. That's hermeneutical. It's just a fact. God's not going to heal everybody on this planet, okay? It's not like it was when he walked the planet. Because he was here, he was developing his disciples. He was trying to get them to believe in the people around him. And every day he was working miracles in the Galilee. He was literally eradicating sickness. And he even said at one point, this is the prophecy of Isaiah being fulfilled. He was bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, and on and on. And by his stripes we are healed. And let me tell you something. When he left this planet, his disciples healed. But I want you to understand this, that it's not like it was. I wish it was, but it's not. I don't have an answer for that. But I do have an answer for this, that one of these days he's going to heal every sickness. And the true fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53 will be seen and felt when we wake up in that new land, in that new world, with a perfect body, with perfect sight, with perfect everything. You're going to get a brand new body. Amen. You will be healed. So I preached the funeral of a lot of folks that died sick. Come on, let's wake up and smell the reality, man. Is that lack of faith? No, that's not lack of faith. We still pray for the sick around here, and we God heals people. Yes, sir, but it's all in God's sovereignty and God's timing. And yet, I want you to know, sometimes people are sick because God wants them to be sick. I know you never hear that. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But I got afflicted, he was saying, and then I came back to God. And you know, sometimes sickness will drive people to God. And if that's what it gets to get them there, thank God. Because we can go to heaven without our arm. We can go to heaven without eyes. We can go to heaven without hair. We can go to heaven without a lot of things. You can go to heaven with cancer in your body. You know that? You can go to heaven with leukemia. You can go to heaven with all the diseases of this planet. But I got good news for you. When you get there, there's no cancer. There's no leukemia. There's no broken pieces there. You can get to heaven on broken health, but if you get there, he'll change you in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. So pray for your sickness and God heals your sickness. But I'm just saying, if you wonder how come I can't get healed, you will. Hang in there. And then broken faith. Sometimes people succumb to the realities of life and it leaves them with broken faith. Have a little faith here. All right. It leaves them with broken faith. There was a time when their faith was robust. Their faith was strong. They prayed. They ever diligently studied the Bible and read and hungered and thirsted for that. But now the years have gone and everything is different. And the old sweet blessed assurance has departed in clouds of darkness all around the throne now. Some people are like that. Are you lost? No, you're going in the right direction, right? But you don't feel what you used to feel. It affects your faith. And once faith was like a gallant seafaring vessel with sails set, flopping in the wind, with adventure, going to conquer the world, going to see new places. They thought without a doubt they would reach the harbor strong, untouched, but now that gallant vessel is a broken wreck. I know people like that. The Bible said that Jesus will not destroy a broken reed or put out a dying candle. What's he saying? If you're weak in your faith, you thank God that you got some faith. Maybe little, but you got it. Praise God. I'm going to tell you that earnestly that I believe this now more than ever, that you can make it to the shore on broken pieces. Sure, some things are lost. Probably a lot of things get lost. But yet something yet remains. Something they can cling to in the dark. That's where these guys were. That's where Paul was. And they clung to that little piece, whatever it was, to a spar, to a board, a broken piece. And you know what? A little faith still has buoyance in it. Still has buoyance in it. Oh,
I know you. Some of us would like to get there and just, you know, just slide into heaven as the victor and just, you know, just totally, absolutely strong and go from strength to strength. But I'm sorry to tell you this. A lot of us are going to go from weakness to strength. But if you hold on, if you hang in there, that's what I keep preaching, persistence. And I keep preaching, don't give up and don't quit. And if you just have a little bit of faith left, and somebody got wise, some wise guy, I should say, and did a picture of me up here, you know, hanging off the, but y'all see that on Facebook? Yeah, somebody showed me that. But anyhow, but I told you, if you just had a little wiggle in your finger left, just thank God for the little wiggle in your finger. That means that you're not dead. Amen. Maybe you just got a little piece to hang on to, but it's enough. It's buoyant. Oh, the waves are slapping you, and the wind is blowing you, and all around you it's dark, but hang on to what you got. If you hang on to what you got, it'll get you there. I tell you, it'll get you there. Sometimes you may get down to just one verse. I just got one verse to hang on to, but thank God one verse is enough to hang on to in dark times. It's enough to hang on to in the times of life when the storm is rocking me and reeling me. If I've only got one verse and I've just got a little faith, thank God my faith, it will stand. Amen. Oh, let me say this, and I'm closing in a second. Broken heart. Some of you are going to go to heaven with broken hearts. Amen. Some of you maybe had to put a child in your grave. It'll never heal. Oh, it'll get better, but I'm sure it never heals, because you'll always, always think. It'll always be there. Or a spouse, or someone you were particularly very close to at time in your life. Maybe your best friend that you grew up with, or the person that you've been living with for, married for 60 years. And they're gone. And they're no longer where you can touch them and see them and hug them. And it feels so final. It feels so desperately final. Oh, but I tell you, your heart may be broken, but God will see you get there. Hold on to that peace. When I was in the first grade, I'll never forget this. I was just a little first grader. And there was a family lived up the road from us, literally. I mean, we lived out in the country. And they lived up the road. And I'll never forget, they rode our bus. It was two brothers. One was in the ninth grade, one was in the 12th grade. I only remember the ninth grade boy, the brother. His name was Bo. Bo? It was Bo. And you know, I was just in the first grade. I looked back in the back of that bus. I see all them big boys back there. They'd get on. You know, that's a ninth grader. And then here comes a 12th grader. Yeah. And I looked up to him, man. And one day my dad said, "You're not going to believe this, our neighbors. Those boys were hunting, and in the process of hunting, one of them got over the fence, and the other was crossing. Bo was and Bo accidentally shot his brother and killed him." That was like 1969, man. Summer of 69. Actually, it was in school, so it wasn't summer. I never forget when he got back on that bus. He goes by, but his brother never came. It left a lasting impression on my heart. I will never forget that. Don't know why, but I'll never forget it. But I've often thought, after all these years, 1969, that's a long time ago, how much more does that family carry that still yet to this day? When they gather around for Thanksgiving, like you're about to do this week, come to Christmas, the families all gather. My wife has a brother in heaven. His name is Norvin. Got killed when he was 15 and a half, driving a truck. Swerved to get out of the way of two people that were racing with boats, and his load shifted, and he was killed pretty much instantly. I never met Norvin. I wish he was still around. I think we would have been good friends, because
He had the call of God on his life. Paid his tithe. He really did. His dad was the pastor, and he paid his tithe to his dad. How about that? You think about that next time you put that quarter in that slot machine. Wonder why God ain't blessing you. Hello.
He prayed, and that very morning, his mother went by. I believe, if I get, you can straighten me out loud, but I know it was something that he was in there praying and seeking God that morning that he was going to die that day. I don't know about you, but man, I don't know a better way to go than have been prayed through and seeking God. But I want you to know they never have forgotten it. And every time that we go down that same road, I see it in my mind's eye. I know I wasn't there. I didn't know him, but I've heard the story so many times, and I know it bothers my wife. It bothered her dad before he died, and it bothered my mother-in-law and all the family. It'll never ever go away. But let me tell you something. You may have a broken heart, but when you get to heaven, that heart will be healed. For the Bible said, he shall wipe away every tear. He'll wipe away every grief. He's going to take away. He's going to just dispel death. And there'll be no more dying. And everything will be new. And guess what? There'll be no more broken hearts.
If you hang in there, come back to the instruments, please. Because I got 2 minutes. There are some of you who will make it to heaven very gloriously and victoriously. Their love is burning. Their faith is bright. They'll live and die in the fullness of assurance. But thank God people can reach heaven, that haven of a broken, broken people. On a spar, on a board. You know why? For the Lord is merciful. He's gracious. And you can kind of tell when I'm in a way of thinking, I guess, but I can't help but keep bringing up that penitent thief. He's always weighed heavy on my mind, but boy, that man was broken. Literally. On a cross. Very worst place he could ever be. Turned out to be the very best place he could ever be. What you're going through right now, you say, well, you know, it's the very worst place I could ever be. Well, let me tell you something. It could be the very best place you could ever be. My dad died with lymphoma cancer in 2012. But you know, it was on that dying bed that he was able to stop and listen to God. Thank God he wasn't taken out. A few years before that, when he was hit on his motorcycle, almost killed him. When he was running and gunning and acting a fool. But God gave him grace and mercy.
I think of the prodigal son in the far country. He lost a lot, but he made it back to the harbor on broken pieces, back to the Father's house.
Thank God for amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's able to save to the uttermost and able to help you get there on broken pieces. You see, that broken piece of the ship, they're going to come ashore on. The prodigal came home again. I know that's not the real message here, but it's still a message.
He left and spent everything. There's some things you'll never get back. There's some things that'll never be restored. But you can make it home. And you can make it to heaven. The prodigal came home again, and there was music and dancing and feasting, and killed a fatted calf and put a ring on his finger and put some shoes on his feet. Thank God there's a shining hope for those that have broken faith. As it was for Paul in the shipwreck, you may make it on broken pieces, but the message in all of this is you can still make it by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Father, we thank you today for the goodness, the grace, and the mercy of a loving Father. And there's no way we could ever put a price on that.